Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. If you are a guest with us today, thank you so much for choosing to be with us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet, you'll find a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out. Either drop it in the offering plate when it comes by or leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be so helpful. Hopefully you received a bulletin as well, and everyone else did. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. If you don't, please make sure that you grab one on your way out. Not a whole lot going on this week, and there is no Sunday school today. Sunday school is on a break for the summer, so we will pick that back up in the fall. And so we only, for the summer months, we're only going to have worship service starting at 10 a.m. just like today. But there's other things that are going to be going on that you need to be aware of. So in the bulletin, you will see there's no children's church, but there will be if I remember before the sermon to dismiss them. So if I don't, I know that people are going to tell me that I need to do that. So there will be children's church today. Also, we're doing a pictorial directory, an update of our old one. And if you are new to Lake Hazel Bible Church, we need to make sure that we get you in there. If your information has changed, you need to make sure that you give that to Christine this morning. Christine will be ready to take pictures right after the morning service. Most of you ladies are dressed up really nice, so maybe today would be a great day for you to be able to get your picture taken for the directory. If you have been in the directory, you want a new picture, or you're not sure that you were in the old directory, get your picture taken anyway, give Christine all your information, and we'll go from there. Church family dinner is next Sunday. It's our baked potato bar. Potatoes are going to be provided, but there's a sign-up sheet to help bring food, and that's on the information table, and there's still some empty blanks. There's a lot of them that are filled in, but there's still some empty ones, so on your way out, if you're planning on being here next week, you might want to be able to stop by and be able to do that. So a lot of things going on, things that you need to know about. That's why it's important for you. So today is Mother's Day. So I'm going to ask all of the mothers to please stand. All of the mothers to please stand. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. Let's give them a nice round of applause. And then if there's any ladies here that aren't a mother, would you just stand? Ladies above the age of 18. All right. Okay. If you're 18 and above, stand up, okay? All right, because here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we just don't appreciate mothers on Mother's Day. We appreciate all ladies, and so we are so grateful for each and every one of you. Let's give all of the ladies that are gathered here this morning with us a round of applause. So wait, ladies. So I know that mothers and ladies pretty much keep the home front running, and You are probably more organized than us men are, and that's just a known fact. So, ladies, would you do me a favor this morning? Because of your organizational skills, would you stop by the library? And inside the library are mail slots, and every one of you should have a mail slot. And so will you check your mail slot? Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of stuff in their mail slots. And some of it is pretty current information. Like some of our graduates, our high school graduates, are putting stuff in your boxes to let you know they're graduating. You might want those, because if you wait till July, they'll already be graduated. And if you wait till September, they're going to be gone doing other things in school or other ventures. And so would you stop by there this morning on your way out and just make sure that you clean out your mailbox? And do that even, don't send your husband. If your husband's here, don't send your kids. If your kids are here, you go ahead and take care of that, ladies. Would you do that for me? Shake your head, yes. All right, very good. All right, you may sit down. All right, are you ready to worship? Ready to praise? Ready to tell God how much you appreciate him? And remember how much he appreciates you, because you matter to God. Amen? Let's go, worship team.
Would y'all stand with me this morning?
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is a time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Willing we choose to surrender our lives. Willing our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, just as you are. Come, oh, come, come.
Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we can come into your house. We can take a moment, a pause, a break from everything that's going on out there, and we can focus on you. Set our minds, our hearts on you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Singing hallelujah, there's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah, it really is amazing grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Here we go.
Singing hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. Hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. It really is amazing grace.
Give the Lord a round of applause for his amazing grace today. Come on, he's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. We're going to sing all about how awesome, awesome, awesome our God is.
God is great, give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars, he can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And even when I ran, he didn't run away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on the cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at those scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God. Awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Eyes on the sky, there will be a day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. Everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, you're an awesome God, you're great. In all you do, I'm made to worship you. My God, you're an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. In the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of sing, how great is our God. Oh, name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Lord, we worship you today because you're great. We worship you not for what you can do for us, but because of who you are. We worship you today because you're worthy. You're worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. And we lift you high. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing about how great is that love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When mortal time shall pass away,
love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace through Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we withink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Do you know love, God's love this morning? Wow. Nobody does? Well, I'm going to have to change the sermon for this morning, I guess. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's. Dude, you're it. You know? Okay. All right. Well, I know there's a special craft for Mother's Day, so maybe you can make more than one. Okay. All right. Are you taking Mom out for Mother's Day dinner today? Don't take her to McDonald's. Okay, take her somewhere classy, okay, like Burger King, okay? All right, okay, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful to have been able to sing these praises, and Father, to honor not only mothers, but to honor the ladies here at Lake Hazel Bible Church this morning. And Father, I pray that they will know that not only do they matter to you, but they matter to us. So Father, I just pray that you'll be with us as we hear your word opened up to us. May our hearts and our minds and our ears be open to what it is you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. All right, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 4. And by the way, ladies, you do matter to us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And so, as you leave this morning, out on the information table, there are two baskets. One basket has pens and bookmarks and notepads. Another has clips. So ladies above 18 years of age, go ahead and help yourself, okay? But just remember, you're not the only one taking stuff this morning, okay? All right? And so that's our way of being able to show our appreciation to you. So, you know, it's been said that ladies like to feel secure. They like to feel safe. They like to feel loved. They like to feel protected. They like to feel being appreciated. But you know, I think that all of us as human beings, we all have that same sense. We all have that same longing. So I want to start this morning by telling you the story of a fellow named Ted Stallard. He was a young man who was turned off by school, very sloppy in appearance, expressionless, unattractive, slow. Often he would simply sit in class and stare off into space, unresponsive, which was an irritation to his teacher. Miss Thompson enjoyed using her red pen as she placed big red X's beside Ted's many wrong answers. If only she had studied, Ted's school records more carefully. They read, first grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade, Ted could do better. Mother seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy, but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. When Christmas arrived, the children piled elegant wrapped gifts on their teacher's desk. Ted brought one too. It was wrapped in brown paper and was held together with scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened each gift as the children crowded around to watch. Out of Ted's package, a gaudy rhinestone bracelet fell, with half of the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to laugh. But she silenced them by splashing some of the perfume on her wrist and letting them smell it. She put the bracelet on, too. At day's end, after the other children had left, Ted came by the teacher's desk and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet looks real pretty on you. I'm glad you liked my presents." Then he left. Miss Thompson prayed and asked God to give her wisdom and to change her attitude. The next day, a changed teacher greeted the children, a teacher now committed to loving each of them, especially the slow ones, especially Ted. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, Ted began to show great improvement. He caught up with most of the students and even passed a few. Graduation came and went. Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for a long time. Then one day, she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note arrived. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university was not easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." And 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know I am getting married next month, on the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were still alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Ted." Miss Thompson attended that wedding and sat where Ted's mother would have sat. The compassion she had shown that young man entitled her to that privilege. You know, every day we encounter people like Ted. But for some, the hurt does not always show on the outside. Some people wear a mask to cover up the invisible pain that hides just beneath the surface of their lives. It may be a neighbor, a member of your family, a friend, a coworker, or even the person sitting next to you right now. Some of you here today might be living every day in private pain that is eating away at your life. The pain can be caused by many things and many failures, both personal and moral. You could be thinking, if my fake smile and facade came down and someone found out about this, would they still care for me? Some might be wondering, does anyone care for me even now? God's word tells us about someone who was wondering if anyone cared about her. And she's known to us as the woman at the well. And she discovered some things. What is it that she discovered? Let's look at those. Number one, she discovered Jesus' character. Hopefully by now you've found John chapter 4 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 18. "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist, and although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, or in Hebrew time, about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus is a gifted teacher who taught lessons in many ways. Most of the time, as we read about the life of Jesus, he instructed people in large crowds. But Jesus also had many one-on-one encounters with people who are just like us. And when Jesus gave these individuals his full attention, then his teaching was full of lots of lessons to be learned. Let's go back and read verses 4 through 9. "And he had to pass through Samaria." Did you catch that? He had to pass through Samaria. Now, I could preach a whole sermon just on that. And the fact that Jesus made a choice to do something that the Jews themselves would not do. When the Jews had to go somewhere, and if it took them anywhere near Samaria, they went around Samaria. Jesus said, "I got to go to Samaria. I got to go through it." Verse 5, "So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?' For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So one thing that we notice here is that Jesus got thirsty, just like all of us. When Jesus arrives in Samaria, it was during the middle of the day, and after a long day's journey, Jesus goes to a well for some water. And there was a Samaritan woman at the well drawing water. Now, this is significant because it was the custom of women to draw water in the evening or early in the morning. So it's believed this woman was all alone drawing the water in the middle of the day. Why was she alone? Well, it's understood that this woman was an outcast. She could have been cast aside by other women and the people of her community. She came to the well alone in the middle of the day to hide from the embarrassment of her life choices and the response it caused in others. Drop down to verses 16 and 17. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." This woman, understand, had no standing. In Jesus' day, women could not divorce a man. Only men had that right. So when Jesus says she has had five husbands and was now living with a man, the implication is that five husbands had rejected her. Can you imagine what this must have done for this woman's self-esteem and confidence? She felt rejected, alone, shameful. And she was going from man to man, trying to find someone who would just love her and care for her. And there are some here today who identify with her. Maybe not just women. Maybe some of us who are men. Like the Samaritan woman, you are wondering if anyone really cares for you and loves you. Some of you feel rejected by someone you care about. Some of you have experienced this feeling of rejection through a relationship. Others have lost a job, while others may have lost someone through death. Some here today feel all alone and very isolated. Still others here this morning, you know that you're in sin. You have something that you are trying to hide and cover up, and deep in your heart you feel guilt and shame. Truth is, today you have some needs that you are not sure anyone can meet. And you're correct. But let me share some good news with you. In these verses, the character of Jesus is revealed. Jesus did not care who this lady was. He didn't care that she was a Samaritan. He didn't care what she had done in her past or what sins she had in her life. Jesus just cared about her. And he cares for you. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? There was a woman at a well who needed to know that someone cared for her. And only Jesus could meet that need. You might be here this morning, and you might think, does anybody really care? You have that need to feel loved and appreciated and protected and safe and loved, and that you matter. Jesus can meet all of those needs and even more. She needed to know that she could be loved. Her life could be different. It was not an accident that Jesus came to the well. Did you get that? He had to go through Samaria. He had to go to the well at just the right time. And at just the right place, Jesus met her in her time of need. Let me remind you, everybody that's in this place this morning, your life matters to God. Jesus has you in this place today. You being here is not happenstance. It is not an accident. This is the right place, and this is the right time. And Jesus is here to let you know that he cares for you. Here's the second thing she discovered. She discovered Jesus' consideration. Jesus' considerations here in this passage are twofold. His priority was to care for a person. His priority was to declare the truth. Look again at verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." The woman says to Jesus that he should not even be talking to her. Jews did not care for Samaritans. They were considered unclean because they were of a mixed culture. When the Assyrians came in and raided Jerusalem and took some of the Israelites captive and took them back into Assyria, they married with the Jews, the Assyrians and the Jews. And the offspring of those marriages, was produced what they called mixed. So they weren't full Jews. So therefore, because they weren't full Jews, they were what? They were cast out. They were rejected. They were categorized. And they were categorized as unclean. Jesus placed this woman, I want you to see this morning. Jesus placed this woman and her needs above the customs, the traditions, and political correctness of his day. Jesus considered her. Jesus considers you. He's not concerned about your reputation. He's not concerned with what others think about you. Though some may say you are a hopeless cause, Jesus looks at you for what you can become and not for what you've been or not what you are today. Go back to verses 16 through 19. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Notice that while Jesus showed love and compassion for this woman at the well, he did not overlook her sinful choices. Jesus dealt with her sin problem. Jesus knew her life. That's why he had to go through Samaria. That's why he knew that she would be waiting for him at the well. He knew her deeds. He knew her motives and her thoughts. And knowing all of this, he declared the truth. God takes sin seriously, and we should too. Jesus died on the cross for that sin. He paid the price that God required for her sin, for your sin, for my sin, the sin of the whole world. Listen to Romans chapter 3 and verses 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Justified by what? His grace. Not your works. Not your intelligence. Not your wealth. His grace. We are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation of our sin has been done away with because of what Jesus did for us as he went to the cross, so that we could be justified by God's grace through God's redemption. You see, Jesus knows the truth of your heart. He knows your motives. He knows why you're here today. He sees through all the fake smiles and the facades, and he knows the real you. And if you've not done so late already, whether you be a woman or whether you be a man or whether you be a teen, if you have not done so already, believe in him today for his promise of eternal life. This is what Jesus offered the woman at the well. And this is what Jesus offers to you. Why? Because your life matters to God. Not just your life here, but your life in eternity matters to God. And he wants you to know that he's the giver of the promise of eternal life. Here's the third thing she discovered. She discovered Jesus' capability. Look at verses 13 through 15. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to," what? Eternal life. Up to success in life? Nope. Up to influence in life? Up to wealth in life? Up to power in life? No. What did Jesus say? Eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." I'm going to stop there for a moment. She wanted this water so that she would no longer have to come to the well, so that she could just sit at home and just rest in knowing that she never has to go to that well and run and have the occurrence of running into a woman from the community, so that she no longer has to be shamed. She no longer has to carry guilt. She no longer has to be burdened. She can just sit at home and just keep giving and enjoying this water. It's not the water that Jesus was offering her. Jesus was offering her what? Eternal life. eternal life. Look at verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This woman had a deep need in her life. She had lived a life of rejection, thought her life did not matter. When she discovered Jesus, she found that this deep need of or thirst in her life could be so much more than what she had experienced and could be fulfilled. Jesus says, you have a choice in your life. Go to verses 13 and 14. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I want you to ponder this question for a moment. Are you content with the water you have in your life right now? If you're taking in the water of this world for salvation, for eternal life, it will never satisfy. And why in the world would you want to choose that water any longer? You see, the living water of Jesus is never ceasing, abundant, pure, fresh, and calming. This is the living water for eternal life. That can only be given to you, that can only be given to me, that can be given to all who believe by only Jesus. So ladies, men that are here, teens that are here, what do I want you to walk away with this morning? Stop using worldly things to satisfy the thirst in your life for eternal blessings. Stop trying to find the assurance of eternal life in unspiritual places. God has placed a thirst in your life for eternity that can only be filled by him. If you haven't done so already, believe in him today. And if you need to know more about that, come and see me after the service. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to have this time in your word. To be able to look at this narrative in John chapter 4, to be able to see how you intentionally set aside the customs and the traditions and the political correctness of the day, because there was one that you knew that needed the living water that brings eternal life. And only you were the only one to be able to give that. Father, if there's any here in our midst this morning that have never believed in you for that promise of eternal life, may this day not go past before they take care of that in their heart and in their mind. Father, we are so grateful that we matter to you. We mattered so much to you that you sent your Son to come to this earth, to go to the cross, to be the propitiation, the satisfaction of what it is that you required for the price of our sin. And the sin of the whole world. And Father, all we have to do is believe. Father, if there's anyone here who's never believed in you for that promise of eternal life, let this be the day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Would you all stand with me for this final song?
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day died and rose again. every prayer he prayed in desperation. The songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. Oh, there will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty